Friday afternoon, I had to drive out towards Ballyclare. Now, it's not a long trip in the car, but it struck me as I was driving out the road, it's a fair distance if you're walking. And it would feel like a longer journey still if you were traveling along a road like that on foot. Literally just hours after the death of a close friend. A long road, a long journey, a lot of time to think. And a lot of time to go over all that you'd seen and heard in the last number of years, and especially in the past few days. Well, that's the picture that Luke paints for us in the final chapter of his gospel. It's in a section titled in our Bibles, On the Road to Emmaus. Emmaus was a village 7 miles from Jerusalem. To be truthful, it's maybe more Dlengormley to Ballymuir than Dlengormley to Ballyclare. And on the evening of Easter Day, two followers of Jesus were on that road. And they were talking. And they were discussing and they were going over in their minds everything that had happened in the past few days. Now, they'd heard a rumor. They'd heard a rumor that some women from their group had been to the tomb earlier that day and didn't find Jesus' body. They'd even heard a rumor that a couple of the women had seen Jesus alive. But I mean, let's be honest. Would you have believed that rumor? Emotionally exhausted, physically weary, I can't help but imagine that three words hung like a dark cloud over those two men as they made that journey. Words that Jesus had cried from the cross 48 hours earlier as he gasped his final breaths. Do you remember those words? It is finished, Jesus had cried. I think those words are on the screen. These words are recorded in John's Gospel. John writes, when he had received the drink, Jesus said, it is finished. And with that, he bowed his head and gave up his spirit. For those two followers of Jesus and for their many friends who had equally pinned their hopes on Jesus from Nazareth, those dying words of their leader and friend must have seemed like the final words in a cruel nightmare. Finished. Their hopes, their dreams, their faith that Jesus really was from God and that he really was the way, the truth, the life, that he really was the living bread who could satisfy, the living water who could quench their thirst, the one whose Father really did have many mansions prepared in heaven itself. Downcast, confused, bewildered, a long walk to Emmaus. But unknown to them, there was someone else on the road. I want to read to you Luke's account of that journey. It's found in Luke chapter 24, and we begin to read at verse 13. This is on page 1061 of our church Bibles. Page 1061. This is God's Word. Now that same day, that's Easter Day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. And as they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early in this morning, but didn't find his body. They came and told us that they'd seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. Then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the women had said, but they did not see Jesus." He said to them, "How foolish you are and how slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. We stop there. In Ballyhenry, there's a lot of roads around us. The metaphor of a journey is a very rich metaphor for thinking about life and the roads we've traveled and the roads we're on. And that metaphor for journey is actually a picture we're going to pick up in our forthcoming website. This is something a number of us have been working on for the best part of the last year, and we hope to have that up and going before the end of the month. Picking up on that idea of a journey. It's a picture that draws in our life, it draws in where we are, it draws in where we're going, it draws in what's going on. There's a lovely line in verse 15 of Luke 24. Those two exhausted followers of Jesus felt that all their hopes were finished. But then we're told, do you see it in verse 15? Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But somehow, for some reason, they didn't recognize him. They walked on, and in very ironic scenes, they shared their despair and their sadness with this stranger who was, of course, the risen Lord. And then in verse 26, Jesus, as it were, steps from the shadows. He did so not by directly telling them who he was, but rather by opening the Hebrew scriptures to them, the part of the Bible that we call the Old Testament. Verse 27 tells us that beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he began to explain to them that he, the Messiah, had to suffer before entering into what verse 26 calls his glory. With Easter behind them, we don't know the exact verses or portions of scripture that Jesus turned to. We're not told that. But when you look back at Easter weekend and when you open the Old Testament, you realize that he had much material to draw on. Let me illustrate this by turning to the book of Exodus. Exodus is one of the so-called books of Moses. In one of the great narratives of the Bible, the book of Exodus uses a prolonged and brutal episode of slavery in Egypt to capture so much of our human condition. Bound, chained, enslaved, God's people cry for freedom. They cry out for a means of rescue, or to use a Bible word, they cry out for salvation. Now, how does this rescue, this salvation, this freedom come? Well, turn to Exodus chapter 12 and verse 3. This is on page 68 of the Bible. Page 68. God's people are in slavery. How does rescue, salvation, and freedom come? Well, through Moses, the Lord said, Exodus 12, verse 3, tell the whole community of Israel that on the 10th day of this month, each man is to take a lamb for his family, one for each household. Verse 7, then they are to take some blood and put it on the sides and tops of the door frames of the houses. Beginning with Moses, how does salvation, how does rescue, how does freedom come? It comes when a lamb is sacrificed. When the blood of an innocent lamb is shed so that captive people may be freed. It begins with Moses. But through page after page of the Old Testament, this plan of God's to provide salvation is unfolded. And where does that entire plan point? Well, let's go into the New Testament now to John chapter 1. This is on page 1063. John chapter 1, verse 29. John chapter 1, verse 29. Speaking of John the Baptist, it says, John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. The cross, it looked like a defeat. But as the innocent Lamb of God shed his blood, it was in victory that Jesus cried out, it is finished. I imagine the risen Lord Jesus on the road to Emmaus, beginning with Moses, explaining to his disciples how at the cross God's big plan of salvation and rescue was perfectly fulfilled. The sin of the world dealt with, finished. Easter is all about a plan fulfilled. But Luke tells us that Jesus also turned to the prophets. Now again, we could go to many places. But I want to turn to the book of Isaiah. This was written 700 years before the time of Jesus. Isaiah chapter 53, page 741 in our Bibles. Page 741. 700 years before the coming of Jesus, Isaiah the prophet looked forward to the work of someone described as the Lord's servant. It speaks about the task given to him in these words. This is verse 5 in Isaiah chapter 53. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities, and the punishment that brought us peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. The Old Testament prophets looked forward to a day when someone described as the Lord's servant would willingly accept the task of bearing the punishment for the sins of ordinary people. And in completing this task, he would bring peace. For centuries, the prophets looked forward. But who would carry out this work? Who could carry out this work? Well, again, turn to John chapter 17 and verse 4, page 1085. John 17, page 1085. Anticipating his imminent death at the cross, Jesus prays to his heavenly Father in verse 4. And he said this, I have brought you glory on earth by finishing the work you gave me to do. The cross. It seemed like a tragic end, a good life cut short. But as the Lord's servant breathed his last, it was with a tremendous sense of mission accomplished that Jesus cried out, it is finished. Do you imagine the risen Lord on the road to Emmaus, working through the prophets, explaining to his disciples how at the cross the task entrusted to him was perfectly fulfilled. His saving work of suffering in our place to bring us peace completed. Easter is all about a mission accomplished. Easter was behind them, but on that quiet road, as the risen Lord Jesus opened the scriptures, Luke tells us that the eyes of those first followers were opened. Words came to life as they recognized Jesus, the Lamb of God, who in fulfilling God's plan had died to take away their sins. The servant of the Lord, who in accomplishing the mission and task his Father had given to him, had taken on his body the punishment that should have been theirs, and so bringing them peace. And so Jesus' cry, it is finished, becomes a wonderful cry of victory. And in that moment, that cry speaks not just of a plan fulfilled, nor even a mission accomplished, but rather it announces that Easter is about a journey transformed. In that moment, those men realized that the one who was walking the road with them was none other than their Savior and their Lord. And Luke tells us their hearts burned with them as they grasped in an incredibly personal way all that Jesus had come to do, he had come to do for them. And again, do you see how the two things work together? It's their heads, as the Bible was explained to them, and it's their hearts, as the Bible comes alive to them. Head and heart together recognizing Jesus. Friends, the image of a journey is a rich metaphor, a rich picture of the roads we've been down, of the place we are in our lives, and of the road ahead with all its unknown twists and turns. This post-Easter account that we've spent time with this morning gives us an incredible picture of how the risen Lord Jesus comes to meet us. He draws alongside us and he wants to go further with us. He is the Lamb of God who died to take away your sin. He is the suffering servant who willingly was punished to bring you peace. And he is the risen Lord who this morning is real and by his Spirit living and present. Are you walking with him this morning? That's a very personal question. And it's also a very up-to-date question. There's a huge encouragement in here if you are. Whatever the road is like beneath your feet, whatever place you find yourself in, that beautiful picture of Jesus drawing near and walking alongside, he died to take away your sin. He suffered in your place. He loves you. And he is with you. Wherever you're at, whatever's going on. But there's also a challenge for those of us who at some point in the past have become Christians. Because that picture of a journey is a dynamic picture. It's not a standstill picture. It's a moving picture. And so it reminds us that true faith in Jesus is a daily relationship. It's a growing relationship. It's a changing relationship. An ever-deepening relationship. An attentive relationship. Maybe for some, there's a conversation you need to have with the risen Jesus himself before you can walk on. Your heart tells you that you need to reconnect. You need to look upon him again and let him find you all over again. And last, but not least, maybe you're here this morning. A variety of reasons or circumstances have you here. And yet you know in your heart that you have never become a Christian. You've never really understood what it's all about. Never really grasped why Jesus died. But maybe this Easter, things have become clearer. You have a sense that your eyes are being opened. Jesus is drawing near. And deep down, you know that this is your time to turn towards him. And to ask the risen Lord to walk on with you. The Bible tells us it is finished. God's plan has been fulfilled. Jesus' mission has been accomplished. The journey is transformed when we walk it. In the company of our Savior and our Lord.